This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And we want to start off right away. Thanks, C&G Paving, for sponsoring the Smooth Operator of the Week. And we can dive right into it. Over on the boys' side, Ty Ewan at Blue Ridge just led the Barons to a VIC title. 5 goals, 2 assists, big performance. He's always a guy who puts up a lot of numbers. But a strong finish to the year for a Blue Ridge team that is right on that cusp of being in the D1 playoffs for the first time in a little while. And this is, it's pretty exciting. They've got some of the horses to get it done. When they're at full capacity, they're pretty tough to beat, and they really took care of business in that VIC title game.
Yeah, and that's somebody that you know you identified before the season sort of started for them, that they had to have him on top of his game to put themselves in a position like this. And for him to play like he has, it has Blue Ridge, like you say, with an opportunity to do something that they've really been yearning for. I mean, they've been in the tournament Division II level, back when they did it.
They made the state finals in Division I, with the big group that came through, when they really kind of recommitted to the program back there in like 2009, 2010. They had Jack Hamer on defense, some other guys who were just tremendous, guys who have gone on to play for big schools. I think even maybe Chase Frazier was like a young guy on those teams.
Yeah.
They had a great face-off, just complete team that they had put together. Back there in like 2010 or so. Was it 10, 11, somewhere in there?
Yeah, Frazier's 11, 12.
You know what I'm saying. They were really good. They beat Stab, a huge upset in the Final Four at Stab, and then they played St. Stephen's, I think, in the final and lost. But, this is a big opportunity for them. They'll probably be on the road. Almost surely they'll be on the road when this kind of shakes out. But they're going to get a shot against, some team and – then they get the opportunity to do it. But Ty Ewan is a big reason why they're going to do it. I mean, he is a heck of a scorer, just a great player all the way around.
Yeah, and then you look at Blue Ridge's, what they've done in the BIC. Really, I mean, they've never taken a break from that. That's one thing they've been really good at is playing well in that tournament.
They take care of business in that tournament. And it's not just Ewan. I mean, they got Shane Ford. They got the Kozak kid. They've got the big guy at attack, Warren. I mean, they got players. They got Liam, the big guy at attack. They've got, some guys who can win, face-offs. They've got guys who can play defense. They pounce on you on defense. They just really kind of attack, and they like to play one-on-one and really kind of go after you and create turnovers. It's fun lacrosse to watch, for sure. So very exciting for them. And then a girls lacrosse player, the other Smooth Operator of the Week, presented by C&G Paving, Jen Wendelken, Albemarle Girls Lacrosse, a big role in 2 really big wins that put them 1 win away from sweeping the Jefferson District for the 2nd straight year. When they get a chance to wrap that up when they play Charlottesville coming up. But Wendelken, 5 goals, 2 assists against Western, 4 goals, 2 assists against Monticello. She changes the game in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at what she brings. I mean, she's a girl with a lot of length. On draws, she's
great reach.
It's one of those players for Almar. She's been really good for them for a really long time. And it used to, for a while, it was really her just doing all the heavy lifting offensively. And now they've added pieces around her and really developed.
It makes
such a difference to have somebody that who's been playing this well for this long and has a physical ability to just really dominate the game.
Yeah. I mean, they got scores on scores on scores. And yet, Wendelken keeps producing. You got Morgan Rose, you got Anna Murray, you got Kelsey Myers, you got all these kids who can really fill it up. And Wendelken keeps plugging along. She creates great opportunities for them off the draw. She just does so many different things that really make her, you know, a key part of what they do. So
and a matchup nightmare. So, I mean, everybody's going to play her.
I don't want to guard her.
Everyone's going to play her a different way. And so that gives you sort of a competitive advantage that you have teams on their heels already before they even line up.
No question about it. So that smooth operator of the week, Ty Ewan, Jen Wendelken, certainly playing big time right now. We want to jump in this episode just to talk about the various races that are going on and just where things sit on the public school side. And let's start with Jefferson District Baseball, where Palatine is in the driver's seat, still rolling, I believe, still unbeaten in the district, and they're rolling. But it is a dogfight every night beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, the first wave through, Palatine was able to take everybody down a notch. Some close games in there. With Louisa, Louisiana, you know, Western played them very close too. But right now, so they have a one game lead on Louisa. Louisa beating Fluvanna was huge for them. They need to get that win back. Those teams split for the regular season. And so that's sort of where it shakes out, is those three, at the top of the standings right now. We see that, you know, Orange is still able to put together two wins here or there. Monticello coming up with a win over Western. So the middle of the field is still in upset mode, and so you can't take any of these teams lightly in the last weeks here coming up. But, it's going to be Palatine, Louisa coming up. That's a huge one. And while technically this is all just for bragging rights and for pride, what matters to these teams is when they branch off into their regional standings. A JD crown is still a nice little feather in the cap to have.
Yeah, Palatine probably going to wrap that up. They've got a few more games to go. They've got some tough opponents. They got Louisa still. Some work to do for Palatine, but Louisa's got to feel really good with that record. You know, where they're going to match up in the region looks pretty good. Teams that have some work to do, Western and Monticello, are probably, you know, things hold right now, they're probably headed for that automatic playoff game. You know, maybe both of them get in on the math, but they're going to be forced into that game probably if Fluvanna can keep the distance between those two and them. You know, that Division III, just one's getting in automatically, one's getting in on the playoff game, and then somebody maybe is getting in on the points. But, they still all three got to feel pretty battle-tested coming through this district.
Yeah, I think the fun thing about Louisa right now is you can see, I mean, Coach Kevin Fisher's talked about it for multiple games now, about how much he really enjoys being around this group, and how this group is so just overall unselfish. And when you start to hear those things about baseball teams, because it's a very easy sport to get selfish in. And yeah, what were the results of the game? Not so good, but I was 3-for-4, kind of thing. So, and when you start hearing that from coaches, these kids are really sort of next man up in it, and really going out there and trying to be sort of the one pitch at a time mantra. That's pretty cool, and that's where great playoff runs sort of come from. But they're rolling. You look at Louisa's record. I mean, you're talking about a loss to Palatine, a loss to Fluvanna, and that's all there is in the last month and a half for them. Two losses there in the district. Not a big deal for them, and they're going to be able to branch off, see some different opponents, and hopefully things will bode well for them. Fluvanna's in the same boat. They got to bounce back from, it's a, sort of a tough one against Orange there, I think Fluvanna's youth is such a double-edged sword. It's a real opportunity for them. I think they're so young and inexperienced from a playoff standpoint that they could be really good, but it's also, you don't want to be the deer in the headlight kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
they bounced back, right? They took care of Charlottesville tonight, 10-0. They're still taking care of business.
Yeah, and we've seen what Fluvanna has done against some good Western pitching. We've seen what they've done against some good Louisa pitching. So, I mean, this is a team that is more than capable of making a deep run themselves. But, the baseball product in the JD, the top end, has been surprisingly consistent. Last year was really, there was such absolute parity that the very bottom and the very top, there's just no margin for error.
Yeah,
it seems like a little more separation this year, but not all that much.
Mm-mm. Every night you're going to see a good pitcher. Every night you're going to see somebody that could give you some trouble. Every night you're going to have to bring it. You're going to have to hit. Western's been, it seemed like for a time they figured out the bats for a three-game stretch or so, but they weren't able to kind of get it going against Monticello tonight. Like, any weakness, teams are going to lean on. And that's just a fact, and that's just where it's shaken out. But like you said, teams want to get to the region. They've seen a lot of different stuff by now, and maybe things are different. You know, this, maybe this is the year that a team that finishes like fifth in the Jefferson District can make a run. I mean, it just feels like it's that deep.
We saw Western in basketball, what they did. And
agreed. Great
the
point.
Finals. So, I mean, these things do happen. It's not unheard of.
And they didn't finish fifth, right?
I think it's a little different when it comes to baseball because you're so reliant on starting pitching. Mm-hmm. And there's only so much you can do. To win a tournament, you have to have different arms do it. And right now, just the way that they're mowing through everybody, to have Tristan Snyder and Liam Grubbs for Louisa, that's as good a 1-2 punch you can ask for going into a tournament. That's going to be a real asset for them going forward.
I mean, it's just that you got to like when you've got two that you can rely on. You know, Fisher hasn't had to go to the bullpen much at all. He's been leaning on those guys, and they get another shot at Palatan coming up. I think that game was rained out for tonight, but. They play Friday night. That's a big game, and gives Louisa a shot to maybe scratch something out. But there's still a lot of time left in that race. But like you said, the important thing for these guys is the region, getting set up, getting in position, and every win's going
to
help.
Yeah, find a way to get yourself a home game.
Absolutely. So we also last week bouncing around a little bit in this episode, but Western Almar and Almar girls soccer. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. But we got our first look at those two Titans matching up and a really tremendous game that just was as good and they had great energy. There was a lot of back and forth. And Almar really stepped it up in the second half after Western jumped up by two. Almar really like brought the attack back. They did not go back down. Western kept charging. It's just a very back and forth, great game by two teams, two defending state champs. And congratulations to Western. It has not been easy. I think it was the first loss for Almar in the district since 2013.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's crazy. Absolutely just nuts to see that. And a heck of a performance for the Western girls. Western girls are an immensely talented team. And for them to put it together and break through against an Almar team that just doesn't give up very many goals. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and that's a race just in the last couple of years that we've seen. Like, it doesn't start really until Western and Almar play.
Yeah.
I mean, those two have been sort of at the top of the field by so far. And, you know, you have to take the clock back a pretty decent margin before, you know, Charlottesville girls were a huge factor back then. It used to be like there was just a little more diversity. And since this revamped Jefferson District has come about back in 2013, it's just been Western and Almar sort of there at the top. I mean, and we've seen Para State titles out of it. You know, that's pretty cool coming out last year. But, great game. And then hopefully the second one is every bit as good. We're going to see that very shortly. But
Coming up the 19th, I believe.
Yeah, definitely two teams that are happy to run into each other because the competition level is just so even there.
Yeah, that was the thing Amy Sherrill said right after the game. Almar's coach, that she was excited that game was happening right before the region, because then you're just jumping into region play and you've seen somebody good. You've seen the pace that you need to see if you want to compete at that level. I mean, in fairness, you know, the rest of the district has been getting incrementally better. Mm-hmm. I think the boys' side has seen a little more of this. I think, like, you know, Louise is better and Orange is better, and we can talk about that in a second. But, you know, you need these teams to play better. You need Monticello to be there. Monticello's had its years. Hannah Keith, a really good player for them. You know, she created some challenges for Western and Almar, but in the end, it really is coming down to these two. They're just head and shoulders so good.
Yeah.
And it's just a great rivalry.
I mean, and it's not all that strange for the JD to have sort of the two-headed monster there. Before Almar joined, it was Fluvanna and Western.
Yeah.
It was always those two.
Or Charlottesville, yeah.
Doing it, like, sort of battle that same way. So we've seen the same formula play out multiple different ways. And
it's the great thing about this rivalry is it does seem to be rooted. There is a certain amount of sportsmanship to it that is great. Like when it's over, everything sort of gets let go. It doesn't turn ugly. It doesn't really get chippy. There's yelling in the game. I think I saw a moment where Amy Sherrill was really fired up, and Abby Zimmerman was like real close to her on the field. She was really fired up, and they weren't yelling at each other. They were yelling like past each other, sort of. But it's just fun to see two teams on like a random sort of Monday night, like to just really lock up and go at it. Those are the kind of games I always want to see.
Yeah, personally. There's a perfect level of volatility you want.
Yeah.
Especially in a soccer
game. It needs to
game.
Feel like it's going to boil over, but it doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. So, tremendous effort by both teams, and Western, you know, just a historic win that should really propel them kind of moving forward. I think they took a tough loss to Jefferson Forest, but in a very evenly played game. You know, it's fun to see, and it looks like both these teams are set up to do really well.
Yeah.
So, over on the boys' side, Western and Albemarle, we got a chance to see them. We got a chance to see Charlottesville. This is really sort of, you said it best, maybe a three-headed monster that is tough. Charlottesville's gotten healthy all of a sudden. They really took care of business against Orange. They got everybody back. They got the full complement, and they're really tough when everybody's playing.
So, they've all played each other, and we've seen Charlottesville beat Western. We've seen Charlottesville lose to Albemarle. We've seen Albemarle beat Western. The one weird game in there is that Charlottesville-Albemarle game that's 3-0, but Charlottesville had no people. They were either hurt or they were participating in the orchestra event.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that game is like, it's the biggest misnomer of this is what the second round will be like. It's just not, it's not going to look the same.
Yeah.
Which is going to be great because it's still a great game the first time around. But I think that's going to be cool. Is that that's the one thing that's just like totally, I don't know, different from everything else. I
mean, like, we're being fair, like, that might be the best game, the most, one of the most intriguing games on the back half of the schedule in any sport.
Yeah.
I mean, that should be really fun.
And in the first meeting, you could tell that we're just sort of talking about like the perfect amount of tension within a soccer game. There's a respect that both these programs have for each other, the kids. They really know each other so well.
They really want to beat each other.
And yes. I mean, a lot of them are teammates on other teams.
Yeah,
I mean,
soccer.
Yeah, you know how that works. Mm-hmm. Once you put on your high school uniform, it just totally becomes a different thing. So that's really cool to see. And if everybody's at full strength, that'll be so good for both these programs.
Only a few days away, Monday, yeah. May 14th for that one. I think all the coaches would... most of the coaches in the Jefferson District would agree that you need that bottom half of the district to really kind of move up. You need those challenges every night if you want to keep up with some of these other teams. And we're seeing some of that develop with the way that Ben Freeman and Hunter Ferguson are out there coaching Orange. They're playing a little different brand of soccer. They're playing pretty well and getting some good results. This year they've taken a little bit of a step back, but they've got a lot of young kids who are stepping in, a lot of freshmen. Over at Fluvanna, you've got, you know, Earl Gibson and Jason Davis working together to kind of bring that program back along to where it was. But they've had good players over the years. You had Rafali, you had Ludwig, you've had, you know, Carter Allbaugh. You've had good players there. But, you know, they want to get those teams back so that you're looking at a Jefferson District that is a battle each night. I think that helps sharpen everybody a little bit. And, you know, it can make you, you know, Orange has talked about it, that, like, it helps them, you know, to see that pace and to see that level that you need to play at when you play at Western, Charlottesville, or an Albemarle. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that you need that bottom half of the district to really step it up. And we're seeing teams that are going, everybody's saying Louisa is much tougher this year. And you know, when you get that kind of development, you get that kind of growth, hey, like, I mean, big things are going to happen. It's only going to make teams better when the postseason rolls around. But like you said, we talked about Charlottesville. Ton of guys who can score for that squad. A ton of guys, and defensively, they're very, very difficult to solve. One guy that does seem like he can break that is Daniel Starr over at Almar. I mean, he is a heck of a player.
Yeah, you look at what he and Weber do together, sort of as a 1-2 punch there. It's really tough to defend. I mean, Weber's such a heady player and a gritty guy, and then Starr has just got sort of a physical advantage on so many people. What Albemarle has been able to do this year is just really sort of take the shots early, mm-hmm. you know, the best that teams throw at you early on, and really just grind people down with just constant breakaways. I mean, they're a really good team shooting outside from the net. They got just strong legs on a team with so much depth already. It's a really impressive sort of rebuild that they've done these last 2 years.
Yeah, I think the big thing that you've got to kind of understand is that they all break off into different regions where, you know, and again, it's similar to baseball. Like maybe this is a year where Western, you know, maybe comes out on the wrong end of this round robin, but you know, they've got enough talent. They've got, or they've got guys who can convert, a guy like Wilson Brown, or they got, you know, maybe they peak at the right time and things come around, because these are all three pretty darn good teams. And, you know, Charlottesville, things set up pretty nicely for them once they get into that region in the 4A. Like, you know, it worked out pretty well for them last year. They don't have that one killer score, but they may be so good defensively that it might not matter. You're going to eventually pop one in, you hope. And yeah, if you're just completely locking other teams down, I mean, these guys on the back end for them, Kyle Leonard, you know, they got tons of guys who can do it, and they got a midfield that controls the ball really well too. So when you've got a team that can play that kind of possession, I mean, it gets pretty, it gets pretty interesting, pretty fun, and pretty, you know, you got to be fired up for all these teams, you know, when they kind of get a chance to make a playoff run. And Almar's just, you never know when Star's going to strike, or, you know, any other number of kids that on that team that are just really talented, you know, kids who can play.
Yeah, and you're talking about three programs that have all made it to a state final in just the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And so when you have that sort of all put together so closely like that, you know, this is, we're not talking about just one kid on the team that was, you know, a member of like a state title team, you know, Albemarle 2 years ago. There were three freshmen on that team, if
right,
I remember correctly, and a couple sophomores that were in there, you know, some of them starting, some of them just role-playing roles. But, yeah, I think that's going to make a huge difference in terms of the pressure. I mean, the pressure just turns up so much for these soccer teams, because you're really playing such even opponents every night. There's just not going to be a lot of 5-1 soccer games when you start rolling into the region.
No.
And we saw that a little bit in the conference play tournament before it would get to region, where there'd be a lot of blowouts. But once you get into the region, it totally changes. And with the new sort of formatting this year, I think we're just going to jump right into it. Maybe you get lucky if you're a heavy seed early on, you get a little bit of a cupcake in a first round game, but probably not going to be all too likely. That region tournament is going to sort of clean everything up.
So, a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
One team that we definitely want to, you know, recognize the work that they're putting in. And this is the time of the year where tennis, you know, tennis becomes a factor. We saw this, you know, in the last week, Almar and Western girls tennis have locked up for two really exciting battles that have come down to the finals, doubles matches, a 5-4 win for Albemarle the first time, a 5-4 win for Western the second time, very evenly matched squads. But the Western boys team is kind of laying waste to everyone. This is an unbelievable tennis team that they've put together. The addition of Gavin Seagraves, he stepped into the mix this year when his family moved into town. He gives them an incredible day. He's headed to Navy. You've got Seagraves, you've got Alex Hicks, you've got Daniel Thomas, Nicholas Hagspiel. I mean, these guys are loaded up, and it looks like Western tennis is really set to make another big run. They're the defending state champs as is. They've got Hicks, who, you know, combined with Thomas to win a doubles championship. Like, when that guy's floating around the middle of your order, like the middle of your ladder, mm-hmm, ladders, that's the right term.
Yep.
Like, when he's floating around there, that's crazy. I mean, it's unbelievably talented team.
Yeah, and from the Western teams that we've seen that have gone on to win state titles, it's not because they have that one guy who's just a state champion on an individual level. It's always been because those 3, 4, and 5 guys, those guys are so good, and they're pushing the top of the ladder.
What did they win, like 5 state titles out of like 6 years or something? It's something ridiculous. I can't remember the exact numbers.
Yeah, Alex Prev and all those guys.
Yeah, incredible run they had. That started with Joey Manila, like, rolled through Alex Prev, Will Diamond, you know, a ton of names that have been around for a while. And, you know, just we know that you know, that team is always going to have talent. They're always going to have votes. They really seem to be putting it together at a different level this year.
Yeah, and it makes them, from a doubles mentality, just really tough. When your ladder's that evenly balanced,
mm-hmm,
it means you should be coming out at least 2-1, if not 3-0, out of those doubles, which, I mean, you obviously hope that you don't even need those.
Sure.
But if you have that advantage going in every time,
you're going to need them at some point, man, and they're just tough, very, very tough. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that Western tennis team coming up. I got to see them real early in the season against Monticello. They are just a handful, no question about it. So Certainly check back in with us. Thank you for listening along, and we really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week.